Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's been fun to be around this group and observe how they've navigated through these last few months, as we've all had to.
It's time for the Ben Cherington Show, every Sunday on the Pirates Radio Network. For all Pirates breaking news, updates, and information, as well as a chance to win exclusive prizes, follow the Pirates on Twitter, add Pirates to Snapchat, like us on Facebook at facebook.com/Pirates, and on Instagram at Pittsburgh Pirates. Find out more at pittsburgh.com/connect. It's the Ben Cherington Show, every Sunday on the Pirates Radio Network.
Good afternoon. It's a beautiful day for baseball in Pittsburgh as the Pirates try to sweep the Milwaukee Brewers. The offense has come alive. Back-to-back 14-hit games. A final score of 14-2 last night, 7-2 on Friday. JT Brubaker today for the Bucks against Corbin Burns. Greg Brown with you, and in the booth with us is the Pirates general manager, Ben Cherington. Ben, that's a lot more like it the last couple days. Is this kind of the if you look at the roster, not that you're going to put up 14 hits every day, but the type of offense that this club can produce?
Well, you know, we know we've got position players who are capable of hitting, and, you know, just really happy for the guys because, as you know, we've had some guys who have struggled, been working their tails off the last few weeks to try to find themselves, find their swing, find their timing. You know, really happy for them. They're starting to see some results here the last couple of days.
Ben, in the last couple of days, both you and Derek Shelton kind of going out of your way to, defend, in essence, Gregory Polanco. And we talked to Derek on his show, which will air in about a half an hour, how nice it is to see a player like Polanco produce essentially right after he's defended publicly. Talk, if you would, about why you and Derek Shelton have, again, gone out of your way really to back up your player.
Well, I think in Polanco's case, it's because every single interaction we've had with him since taking the job last November, every day we've been around him, whether it was spring training 1.0 and then summer camp and certainly now, he's bringing energy to the ballpark. He's working hard. He's got a great attitude in the clubhouse with his teammates. He's healthy, he feels good, and so, you know, the results haven't been there for him yet, although, you know, good to see him, you know, get into one yesterday, and hopefully that continues. But as we would evaluate things, you know, we're going to look at, you know, how hard is this guy working, what kind of focus and energy is he bringing to the ballpark every day to try to get better, how's he treating his teammates, what's his attitude, and all of those have been just enormously positive. There's one example I would point to, and that is that you can, I think, you know, you can often sort of tell, you can learn something about a player by watching them run the bases. And I remember in spring training 1.0 just how struck I was, and Shelty said the same thing, of just how hard Gregory was running the bases and how much energy he was putting into that, how focused he was, and that's carried over too. So when you see a guy putting that much energy into his base running, it typically tells you something about who they are and how much they care. And certainly rooting for Gregory to get going. He's working really hard at it. He feels good. He's healthy. He's missed a lot of time, you know, the last couple of years. And I think the shutdown, he was in such a good place in spring training 1.0. I think the shutdown probably hurt him more than some other players. So now he's getting going.
How tough has it been to evaluate each of your players? You come in here new over the winter, you and Derek Shelton. You do get to spring training 1.0. It's cut short. Then you have the hiatus. Then you have a summer camp, and now you have an abbreviated season. You're now through 22 games. How difficult, or 23 games, how difficult has it been to evaluate this team for you?
Well, I think we've got to be careful about evaluating any kind of 23-game sample. Certainly for some of the guys, they haven't played 23 games. So that's just too small a sample. And in a normal year, you wouldn't even think about trying to do that until, you know, 40, 50 games. Fully understand this year is shorter, so every game means something. The outcomes are outsized, but in terms of learning about players, what we're doing is we're really focused on two things. One is just trusting history. There are guys who have performed at a certain level, who are still young in their careers. Very good chance they're going to go back and perform at that level again, or even exceed it. So trust that, and then trust what we're seeing in terms of the skills, the work ethic, the desire to improve. If you have guys who have a track record, are young, and have the skills and work ethic, that's going to add up to good outcomes eventually. So let's not get caught up in a 23-game sample. It doesn't mean you ignore it. We have to be honest about where we are. The 23-game sample tells us something, certainly, about our team. Tells us that we've got a lot to do to get better, for sure, so we're honest about that. But from an individual player basis, we really want to focus on those other things in terms of how we think about those players going forward.
Because of that, Ben, with the trade deadline coming up in just over a week, does that make it even then more difficult? Because you're only going to be going through, maybe 30 or 33 games or so to be able to evaluate?
There's a lot about this trade deadline that is harder to predict maybe than a normal year. But in some ways it's, going back to what I said, if we focus on what we believe about these players based on, track record, age, and skill set, in some ways it makes it easier to navigate the trade deadline because you just have a faith in what that player's value is, and that's not going to be affected that much by a 23-game sample. And as we talk to other teams, we just have that baseline in mind, and if there's deals that make sense for the Pirates and give us a chance to be better over the long haul and cross that threshold for us based on what we play, then we need to consider those. That's our job. But we're not going to be, in terms about our own players, we're not going to be impacted that much by a 23-game sample, nor are evaluations going to be impacted that much with players on other teams, by a small sample. We've got to look at history. We got to look at where they are in their careers, what we know about them as players, skill set, work ethic, et cetera. That's going to form the basis of our evaluation.
I think you told the media yesterday, the day before, that you felt as if this trade deadline, at least the talk leading up to it, was going to be as robust as ever, or maybe even you feel that that's the case now.
I do, yeah. Just as many phone calls as ever. There's a couple things that happen at the deadline. Sometimes you get the deals, and we'll certainly work as hard as we can to see if there's ways to strengthen the Pirates organization between now and August 31st. We have a job to do that. So that's one thing that can happen at the deadline. It's hard to predict that this year. But the other thing that happens at the deadline is you gather a lot more information that you may use later on. A lot of trades, whether they happen at the deadline or the offseason or whenever they happen, they really manifest over a longer period of time, weeks, months. It might start with a conversation in July and come back to it in December. So I think that's why these conversations are so important, and whether they lead to anything or not, we need to be focused on that and engaging with teams, understanding what teams are trying to do now, next year, and understanding how we might, may or may not line up with teams to put ourselves in a better position.
We will continue with the Ben Cherington Show from PNC Park. Pirates and Brewers today. More with the Bucco GM coming up on the Pirates Baseball Network. We are back at PNC Park. Ben Cherington Show continues before the Pirates and Brewers meet here this afternoon. Ben, in talking about trades in general terms, we're all kind of amateur baseball general managers. We love fantasy leagues. We're GMs. We love the trades. Do you like that part of it? Do you like making trades? Does it get you excited?
Of course, yeah. I mean, I don't think that we're any different in that regard. You know, I mean, obviously our job is to do whatever we can to strengthen the Pirates organization, so we've got to be really thoughtful and disciplined about moves we make. But sure, it's exciting. It's exciting to think about if there is a deal that we think helps the Pirates, that's exciting to think about. It's exciting to work on. There's a lot of people involved, as you'd imagine. And this year is a little bit different. We're going to be doing more of that work remotely, but we've got our pro scouting group really focused on it, you know, breaking down players from other teams and ranking out organizations. We've got our informatics and analyst group doing the same work and collaborating with our pro scouts on that. We've got our baseball operations crew setting up our deadline room, so to speak, remote virtual deadline room this year, with all the information we need in terms of what are other teams' needs, what are they trying to do. Maybe what players have they asked about in the past? What players do they have that we might have interest in? So you can start to put together concepts. It is exciting. It's an exciting process. Usually there's, you know, hundreds of hours of work and, you know, hundreds of phone calls that, you know, behind any one deal. You know, there's usually a lot of work that does not end up being consummated in a deal, and then maybe you get to one every now and then. And when you do, it's because you feel like it's something that's going to help the Pirates, and that is exciting. It's exciting for all of us.
I think you said you have to make sure, though, you don't feel the need that you have to make a trade, because that's when you can get in trouble.
Yeah, I think most teams, and, you know, probably myself included, in the past would say that when, for whatever reason, if you feel like you have to do something or you're forced to do something, it's sort of the worst position to be in terms of making a trade, and we want to avoid that. And if we ever feel that, then that's where collectively in baseball operations we have to have a good enough group culture to be able to remind each other that, and, you know, let's have someone stand up and say, whoa, slow down, we need to think about this more. So we shouldn't ever be dealing from a position of needing to do something. We should be dealing from a position of wanting to do something because it's going to help us be better.
But at the same time, if fans want this team to be better faster,
yeah,
what do you do?
Well, I think that goes back to, you know, all the things that will lead to us winning here. Trades are one of them. You know, player acquisition is one of those things. And the trade deadline happens to be a time of the year where sometimes that happens. So fully understand, and I've said this before, but I'm a fan way before I'm in this job, and I wanted the same thing. I want to see acquisitions that help the team get better, and where I can start to see that happen, and whether, you know, deadline and winter meetings or that, you know, pockets of the off season happen to be the times of the year where more of that activity happens, so there's a focus on that. It's an important activity. Player acquisition is an important activity. Whether we make trades between now and August 31st, whether we make trades in the off season or next July or whenever it is, we will make trades. But they've got to be trades that really make sense for the Pirates now and in the long term. We can't be forced, because acquisition is not the only way to get better. You know, we also need to get better in all those other ways I've talked about, by being really good at evaluating players, by being really good at developing players, by really being really good at putting players in the best position to succeed once they're at the major league level. There's no one thing that we can leave out of that process. We have to be great at all of them. For the next few days, the focus will be on acquisition, because that's where we are, the trade deadline, and we'll work as hard as we can to see if there's ways to improve the Pirates during this time.
Ben, do you think you have an advantage in that you're new to the organization, certainly not new to this position? But that's a huge help, your experience. I wonder, because when the Pirates made the Chris Archer deal a couple years ago, there's a sentiment in town that fans and maybe media alike almost forced the Pirates' hand. The mantra had been, you know, the Pirates never, quote, go for it. Well, and then there seemed to be pressure on the Pirates to go for it. So they make a deal, kind of what you're I know you're not talking about specifically this,
yep,
but you have to be careful. And after that, I wondered, is the organization now going to be really gun-shy about making a deal like that? So from your perspective.
Gun-shy, no. I don't think that's the word. I think we just have to be we have to be disciplined about pursuing deals, whether it's in trade or free agency or in the draft or international, wherever we're pursuing players to acquire, we've got to be disciplined about having a really good process that helps us identify, you know, when are we getting more back in return than we're giving up. Basically, that's what it comes down to. Now, there can be times when, you know, if a team's in a really, if a team's in a certain place where you got a really good team and there's one piece of the team that, you know, could be strengthened a little bit, and might make that extra difference in a game in October or something like that, I think that's where the calculus shifts a little bit. And, you know, there's an obligation to deliver to the clubhouse, to the organization, to the franchise, to the fans. But there's a whole lot of work that happens before that to get to that point. And that's where we are now. We got to do a whole lot of work to get to that point. So during this time, we've got to be thinking about deals through the lens of, you know, are we getting more value back than we're giving up? And, of course, that's going to look different in every trade, but we got to be focused on that. And that's where the process is so important, of really being good at identifying and evaluating the right players, understanding, you know, background, makeup, health, et cetera, understanding, trying to understand how other teams value their own players, value our players, where we can start to match up concepts. And it's just it probably sounds boring to say, but it's really just digging into that, you know, and peeling back as many layers as we can on those different opportunities with other teams to try to find the one that makes sense. And sometimes they're really small. Like, you know, sometimes small deals don't get as much attention, but if you do 10 or 12 of them and most of them are end up being good deals, then they can add up to actually something that's meaningful. So we need to spend as much, we need to be just as focused on the small deals as we do on the big ones.
All right, more of the program coming up, the Ben Cherington Show. The Pirates and Brewers meet at PNC Park. We'll talk to the GM. We continue on the Pirates Baseball Network. Ben Cherington Show continues here at PNC Park. The Pirates general manager with us here in the radio booth, and Nick Trupiano has joined the team, and Nick Mears optioned. Ben, tell us about Trupiano.
Well, Nick's you know, he's pitched in the big leagues a lot. He's been a starting pitcher, you know, a lot in AAA in the big leagues, and he was with the Yankees earlier in the season, and he was sort of caught in one of those situations that every team has been caught up in this year. Yankees added him, then they had to make another move, so he came off. So he was available. We got him off waivers from the Yankees. He's been in Altoona, getting stretched out, building his pitch count up. He's a guy who's been a reliable, you know, starting pitcher, depth starter, can give length. So as we looked at today, and then also even just the road trip of wanting to have another guy who could provide some innings, some length innings if needed, he's a guy that's been a reliable guy to do that. So got a chance to meet Nick in person for the first time last night when I drove out to Altoona, and just so happened that the time worked out where he's back here in Pittsburgh today.
Ben, do you see Trupiano maybe getting an opportunity to start down the road? Is that what you're thinking?
We'll see. You know, he's certainly capable of doing that. You know, we'll see where the opportunities come. You know, the guys that have been in the rotation, you know, by and large, really we're pleased with the effort we're getting from those guys. Obviously hoping that, you know, Musgrove comes back. We expect he will fairly soon here. And so we'll see if openings occur. We do have the doubleheader in St. Louis. We'll have some more doubleheaders later in September. So we know that, you know, when we get into those doubleheaders, you know, you always need extra pitching, extra length. So Nick is one of several guys who would be an option for that type of situation.
You mentioned Musgrove hoping to come back soon. How tough is it, Ben, not to have a minor league opportunity to build up starters? I'm thinking about Mitch Keller. How would he come back?
It's hard, yeah. That's one of many, many pieces this year that are different. You know, aside the obvious of just not having games, I was out in Altoona last night, as I mentioned, and, you know, on the one hand, it's great. Like, we've got good, really good young players there who are getting really good practice, and the staff is doing a great job of being creative with the practice and the simulated games to keep the energy going and really make sure improvement's happening. On the other hand, I cannot sit here and tell you it's the same as a nine-inning minor league baseball game. It's just not. You know, last night, for example, I looked out and Cody Bolton was on the mound, and that's fun for me to watch because I haven't seen a lot of Cody Bolton. And then you look around the infield and Cabrian Hayes was at third and Leover Peguero was at short and Nick Gonzalez was at second and Mason Martin was at first. And if you squint, you know, you can kind of see, that looks like a minor league baseball team there, and that's exciting because those are players who have a chance to be good players for us down the road. But then if you widen your gaze, and no offense to these people, but John Nunley was playing right field, and John Nunley was a really good player, but that was years ago. And Jake Minkasey was catching, and in case you're not sure who Jake Minkasey is, that's because Jake Minkasey's an intern, and we love him, and he's working his tail off, and he happened to catch in college, so he's helping us behind the plate in Altoona. But that's just a way to say that the guys there are doing everything they can to make that a productive development time, and I believe that we are getting good development time out of that. Guys are getting better in Altoona, but it's not quite the same. Something like a Mitch Keller or Musgrove, we're just going to have to build pitch count up differently. We're going to have to do it through live BP sessions, sim games. But the Pirates are not alone. Every team is facing the same thing.
But you feel confident that a guy like Keller, I mean, could come back under those circumstances. He actually can build up innings there, or?
Yeah, whether it's here, you know, in simulated sessions with our major league team, or whether it's in Altoona or some combination, that's what we're going to have to do. And that's what every team is having to do this year. And the good news is that, we're really encouraged by the progress that Joe is making. Musgrove, he's probably a little further along than Mitch, but Mitch is coming along really well too, and we're very optimistic we're going to see him both back in the rotation here during the season.
And we'll continue with the Pirates general manager, the Ben Cherington Show from PNC Park on the Pirates Baseball Network. Ben Cherington Show continues. We're going to step aside as we approach the top of the hour. Station identification time. The Pirates have you covered with the Total Tailgate Sweepstakes. The whole backyard setup is included. Tent, grill, food, beverages, and party games. No purchase necessary. Must be 21 to enter. For complete rules and to enter, go to pirates.com/tailgate. We pause now on the Pirates Baseball Network. Ben Cherington Show continuing as the Pirates meet the Milwaukee Brewers today before hitting the road. And a long road ahead for the Pirates. You talked, Ben, about how kind of every team is in a similar situation, a lot of makeup games. Do you feel like you and the club are prepared for this really substantial road ahead in terms of games?
Well, I think we're prepared as we can be today, but we're going to need to work on that every day because new information comes in every day and there's changes every day. So the preparation never stops. Certainly feel good as we play today's game and look to get a good start out of Brubaker and feel good about, you know, our chances to compete today and win this game, and then feel good that we're in a position to go into a road trip with enough pitching depth. But we're going to have to look at that every day. You know, it's a constant focus. It's going to be a constant focus for the remainder of the season.
You're going to have some players back eventually, you think, maybe on this road trip, at least Musgrove. What about Kyle Crick?
Yeah, we're hopeful. He's going to do another live BP tomorrow, see how that goes. He's feeling better all the time. Probably do that tomorrow. He'll come with the team on the trip, kind of see where he is coming out of that live BP on Tuesday and determine where we go from there.
What about Keone Kella? Where does he stand?
Yeah, you know, really hopeful that, first of all, he did the right thing on Friday of just recognizing that he felt something, he felt a cramping, and that, you know, did the right thing of, you know, saying something, let's catch this thing early. Really feel like from what I've gathered and talking to Keone and staff and, you know, feedback I've gotten that it's probably one of those things that you can kind of put in the bucket of the challenges of getting ready for a season this year, and especially in his case where he missed some time, when he was in the quarantine, and then ramping up. And In a normal spring training, you're ramping up. When you're ramping up in spring training games and building your volume and pitch count, not to say guys aren't competing in spring training games, but the intensity is not quite the same. When you're doing the same thing in a major league season, his first real outing was against the Reds in Cincinnati. He's stepping on it. You know, he's there's no time to hold back in a game like that. And so, you know, it's 97 miles an hour. He's throwing his curveball really hard like he always does. He's got great stuff. Well, that's going to put a different kind of strain on the body than, you know, you might get in a spring training progression. So I think it's just, and we're seeing that around the league as pitchers try to handle that. And so he, you know, after now Friday was his third outing, and, you know, I would chalk this up as to sort of part of his buildup, really. But he felt something. He did the right thing to say something about it. We're going to let it calm down here for the weekend, and we'll have the off day tomorrow. Kind of check in with him Tuesday, see where he is. He'll be with the team on the road, and we'll go from there. We're certainly not going to put him out there until he really feels ready to do so. So we'll continue to listen to Keone on it. We're optimistic that, you know, that his elbow is completely stable. He's strong. We just got to make sure he's feeling good before he goes out there.
Ben, what do you think the impact will have on the immediate future of players getting, especially pitchers, injured in terms of the trade deadline coming up in a week, postseason play, and then winter trades, free agency, and the like? I know you've thought about it.
Sure. I mean, even in the next year, I think there's we think about it all the time. We know that pitching will continue to be, you know, really important for us. We've got to get better there. And, you know, pitchers, in order to get better, pitchers tend to need to be healthy in order to get better, because when you're healthy, you're out there getting your reps, and that's a big part of getting better. So we continue to collaborate on it with our major league staff, with Oscar and Mess and Todd Tomczyk, our major league athlete development team, AJ Patrick, in the minor leagues, our minor league coaching staff. We're talking about it all the time. How do we manage that work volume this year? How do we start thinking about what that means for off season? What should guys be doing this off season? Should that be any different than a typical off season? And then how do we manage it going into next year? And that's not only for major league pitchers, obviously, that's for 100 minor league pitchers too. So I don't have a crystal ball. I can't tell you exactly what that's going to look like. But it's a priority for us, and we got to be focused on it, you know, a lot over the next several months.
And you certainly want to continue to win, Ben, but this season is, again, it's just so bizarre. It's almost like it's nice to win, but if you don't, especially for a team like the Pirates, you're almost better at it from a, again, a fan's perspective, better off not really going for the all the wins right now. Let's save our bullets for next year and beyond.
Well, I've said this before. I mean, I really believe that a Major League Baseball team, these are professional athletes at the Major League level, they're good players. And when this game's starting today at 1:35, we need to be prepared to win and expecting to win the game, period, every day. That's what a Major League Baseball team needs to do, and that's what we expect our group to do. And I believe that we can do that and need to do that and ought to be doing that. And at the same time, we can then also be thinking about what puts the Pirates in the best possible position going forward. How do we build a more sustainable winning team over time? We can do both, and they're not mutually exclusive. We got to be tough enough and disciplined to do both. But at 1:35 today, you know, we're gonna take the field. JT Brubaker is gonna, you know, walk up on the mound and throw the first pitch, and we believe we're gonna win.
Ben, thanks so much. Look forward to talking to you next Sunday.
All right, Brownie, thanks.
The Ben Cherington Show comes your way every Sunday. Today, yep, the Pirates have JT Brubaker on the hill against Corbin Burns. Coming up our pregame show, we'll talk to the Pirates skipper. The Derek Shelton Show will be coming your way, and we'll also check in on other action in Major League Baseball today. It's the Pirates, it's the Brewers, it's PNC Park. The Buccos look for the sweep. That's coming up next on the Pirates Baseball Network.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.